Gravett, Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, line-by-line study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. You know, before we begin the book of Ezra, we're going to spend one more day talking, just visiting. And we're going to talk about some current events again and a little bit about what happened here, a sermon, a lecture that I taught last weekend that I feel should carry over to you in the television and shortwave audience around this world, whereby you could understand, and as you see the title there on the screen, Don't Teach My People to Fly. That's an instruction from our Father. And you'll remember that Jesus, when he was giving, he was asked by one of the disciples, when is it going to be that this city is going to be cleansed, Jerusalem, from where we're crying, peace, 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 when is that going to be? And your return. And he gave those seven events, which are the equivalent of the seven seals and the seven trumps. And there is another place, even in the Old Testament, whereby he readies us. But I don't want you to ever forget the main warning that Jesus gave. And I have reference to Matthew 24 and Mark 13, as well as Luke 21. He said, be careful and don't let someone deceive you. And then he made it very clear, because most people would say, well, my church wouldn't deceive me. Oh, but that's what he was very careful to say, especially be careful there. I know that no one would intentionally, that claims to be a good Christian, would deceive you. But Jesus made it very clear. He said, there will be many come in my name, meaning they'll claim to be a Christian preacher or teacher, deceiving many. See that you stay with my word, he would say, rather than listening to them. And it just so happens, and again, when did this apply? In the end days. He said, and he gave a parable in one place. He said, the world is a field, and God let it out to husbandmen. That's to say, he let it out to Christians and the children of God, that they could tend it and take care of it. And then he would say in Matthew 24, blessed are they that are still in that field working when I return. And in another place he would say, my question is, will there still be any faith on earth when I do return? Why? Deception. Many people will be deceived. Many people are shocked when they would see the title of this particular lecture, Don't Teach My People to Fly. But the Lord never heard about the rapture theory? Well, he sure didn't write about it. It's not in the Word of God. That's just one word that isn't there. Well then, Pastor, you've never read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Oh, yes, I have, in many languages. The subject and the object there is, where are the dead? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen are. And unfortunately, many people would seem to not adhere to verse 13. That's the subject. Greek is very specific. Once a subject and an object is set, you might even have a transitive verb, but the subject and object does not change until it's very obvious that the whole subject is changed. You can't stick something in, that's what I'm saying, against the word of the writer. Well, it just so happens that back in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, which it was a great prophet, especially, the book of Ezekiel has more prophecy concerning the millennium than any other place in the Bible, even including the book of Revelation, giving more detail about what will transpire there. It begins in chapter 40, but all these chapters preceding and leading up to that are about the end times, now. Much of it about now. And again, we have, it's ironic, not ironic, but We have the same subject, don't be deceived. And he tells us at the beginning of this 13th chapter of Ezekiel that he says, a son of man being Ezekiel, ben Adam, prophesy against those prophets that will, teachers, preachers, that will lie to my people. And then he continues, and I'm going to drop down to verse 10 of that 13th chapter. We're going to cover some of those scriptures as to what those preachers that come in the name of Jesus would be teaching in the end time. Verse 10, and it reads, Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Meaning they built a wall that was supposed to make you feel safe and protect you, but instead of making true mortar that nothing can penetrate, they whitewashed it. In other words, the whole thing was a lie. God, as it is written in the 38th and 39th chapter of this great book of Ezekiel, is supposed to be your wall. God is our wall. He's an invisible wall to most. They can't see him, but he sure protects us. But many people say, peace, peace. Don't worry. You don't have to understand the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone. You're saved. And that's the only words it would appear they know. Verse 11. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that's to say whitewash in the Hebrew, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Do you know what's going, the flood that's going to bring that wall down? You're going to find it in Revelation chapter 12, where from Satan's mouth came a flood of lies and deceived those that were on the earth. Verse 12, lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Where is that strength that you had? Then let them daub it. All right? Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. God himself will. He will allow it. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. And of course, we're looking on there, as will be written in the 38th chapter of this, where that, yes, hailstones would fall. They would destroy our enemies. I don't care if you're in the middle of one of those hailstones and you're one of God's children. He is your wall and he will protect you. But if you're looking for protection from false preachers, forget it, friend. God is promising you it will fall. Verse 14. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, that you've whitewashed, made look pretty, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's the purpose. There will be many that think they know the Lord, but they don't know which Lord, for there are two. And many will cry, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, I've prayed in your name. Lord, Lord, I've healed in your name. And he's going to say, get out of my sight. I've never knew you. I don't want to see you. Get. But I'm saved, Lord, out of my sight. Because they've listened to traditions of men rather than the word and the teachings of our Father and his Son. For the purpose of what? That on the first day of the millennium they will recognize him, and every knee will bow, for indeed they will know who, on that day, who the true Lord is. Verse 15. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. They will never have position of authority again, professing to be priests or prophets. Listen very carefully. This is the warning. Again, the words of Christ, beware that no one deceive you. Listen to your father and not what some preacher might say. Verse 16, to wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her. And there is no peace, saith the Lord God. This is what it consists of. 17, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, who out of their own wall, or from behind their own wall, claiming to be Christian, Christ sent. Verse 18, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows. Now Christ is coming for a bride. There is no gender in this. This means everyone that expects to participate in a marriage or a marriage supper. Do you know what this word pillows is in the Hebrew? Something that is created to conceal or hide. It means covering, all right? Thus pillow, something filled or puffed. To all armholes, that's to every elbow that comes along, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature, to hunt souls, to do what? To win souls. Have you ever won any souls? Who did you win them to, my friend? Will you hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls alive that came unto you? In other words, every high place they... But what does this say in the Hebrew? It's rather a poor translation. God says, I am very angry and you teach against those that sew pillow covers or handkerchiefs to place over my outreach saving hands to my children and lie to them about salvation. That's what he's talking. Well, why would a Christian lie to someone about salvation? Well, it goes something like this. You don't have to understand what God said. It isn't important what God said. You're not meant to understand the book of Revelation or most of the New Testament or even the Old. Just trust God, because you're going to be gone anyway. You know that nowhere in God's Word does it say that. That's a lie taught by men. Nowhere in God's Word does it say that. You are to understand the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the beginning of knowledge is reading the Word of God. The beginning of understanding, the beginning of true salvation comes with following God's Word. Your father's outreached hands are the only true salvation there is. But you still have those that say, don't worry. All you have to do is believe. Believe what? If you haven't read the Word of God and studied it with understanding, if you are biblically illiterate, you don't know what to believe. But what are they sewing these pillows on every person in a high place? Every super preacher, every denomination, cover it over and go the way of our way. Verse 19, let's let our Father himself do a little whittling here, narrowing down whereby it's very easy to understand by listening to his word rather than this man or any other man. Listen carefully. Verse 19, and will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread for money? In other words, beggars in priest robes, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live. Promise them salvation and they're so lazy they won't even read my letter. They shouldn't be saved. They're ignorant about God's word. Why should they be saved? They don't care anything about God, or they would read his word, his letter. To save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Well, I still don't understand. What are they lying about? Here, God is saying, maybe he'll clarify it for us here in a moment. He's saying here, my arms are outstretched and you have sown, let's say, pillow's lips. That's what we, well, that would be a very accurate translation from the Hebrew. And place them over my outreached hands and you tell lies about me saving them. Therefore, they're not really saved. They just think they are. Very comforting. Very comfortable to feel you are in a, the Hebrew is very specific, concealed secret society. It's very strange how well it's preached and that it is concealed from the Word of God, but it's very familiar in the minds of people. I think probably you'll even recognize it. Verse 20. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against, he's what? I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. To do what? Not stay in the garden working, not staying in the field working, but to fly. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Fly away with me. They sing it. They talk about it. It's not scriptural. They're lying. I'm sure that it has been repeated so many times that they, God says, I am against it. So if you're filling, if you're in a house that's filled with that kind of dribble, don't expect God to bless it. He won't. He's against it. I heard one idiot. I don't usually call people an idiot, but the man had to be an idiot that was a kind of a super preacher, claimed to be. Old Porky. You've heard me talk about him one or two times before. He said, when the Antichrist comes, he said, there is some man teaching that the Antichrist is going to come before the true Christ does. I don't wonder who he was talking about. Give us two guesses. All right, on national television. Who else teaches? Well, I can't think of anyone else that teaches that. He must have been talking about me, so therefore I can talk back about this idiot. He said, yes, my friends, at the I won't be here when Antichrist comes, because at the seventh trump I'll fly away. Join me, won't you? The idiot. The Antichrist appears on the fifth and sixth trump. And he's not going to fly till the seventh trump. At least he can read and remember part of the God's word. It's real sad when you look at the intelligence of some of those that claim to be teachers. Is it any wonder that God is against them? Am I saying this to destroy the Christian church? No, but to tell those preachers, caulk up your Christian boat and make it float, because it sure is, you know what, going to sink when that flood comes, unless you get your homework done. And you better do a lot of praying over the Word of God and forget the words of men teaching God's children to fly to save their souls when He intends for them to stay in the field working. Now, where do you come up with that stuff? I know where you come up with it. It didn't start until 1830. I'm not going to share it today. God is against you if you teach fly to save your soul. And do you know how the rest of it goes? And I'm sure most of you Christians, if you're still listening, though would-be Christians, you've heard it said, you don't have to worry about Antichrist. You're going to be gone when he's here. That's a lie, my friend. Anyone that would tell you not to read and study God's word is a worker of the devil. You don't have to worry about understanding any of God's word. Just believe you're going to fly and you'll be all right. Let that be your security blanket. And you know what kind of Christian you are? Instead of a man or a woman of war with God's gospel armor on in place whereby you're fit for something, you're a sniveling little brat running around with dragging a security blanket and sucking your thumb. Worthless. God is against you if that's your case. Well, how can you blame us when that's what the preachers say? Can't you read? Can't you read the word for yourself? Don't blame some stupid preacher on. Don't blame it on him. You have a Bible, don't you? If you don't, go get one and read God's word for yourself. He says, I am against those prophets and teachers, preachers, that teach my children to fly to save their souls, saving the idiots that don't have any enough sense to study God's word, and condemning those that should live, meaning those that do teach the truth. He said, I'm against it. God blesses this ministry, I think, probably more than any other ministry. We don't have to beg for handfuls of barley. This is either of God or it's not, and it'll fall. And I'm not a beggar, I'm a teacher of God's word. I don't hit you up for money every 5 minutes. And if it wasn't of God, let it fall, because I could be doing other things rather than being a false teacher. But I have studied long, and I have studied in depth into the Hebrew, the Greek, the Chaldee, to search the scriptures to find and approve those things that God is not against, and sail your ship through that waterway that is the way, by following the wake that Christ cut, rather than listening to men and denominations that make void the word of God and come in the name of Christ. Pretty strong? Hey, God's against teaching his children to fly to save their souls when the whole purpose is to stay in the field. And in Matthew 24, the only one that will be blessed is those that God finds still so doing. That one that flew away first, hey, they went to hell with Antichrist. Jump on the wagon, friend, and fly to save your soul, because it ends up as a Jezebel right in the bed committing whoredoms with the false Christ. Study God's word and show yourself approved, or stand in danger. Okay, let's go on with the next verse here. Let's find what the Father would say. Verse 21, your kerchiefs, this is to say your lies, also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They're hunted there, or they will be, from the memory of it. God said, I'm going to open up their little four squares and let my people out, shed a little light on the darkness of the handkerchiefs. Verse 22. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. It is sad. Boy, is it sad. Whom I have not made sad. In other words, we're not sad because God put this upon us, but the so-called learned people have whored after the lie quick enough on their own, saying, oh, it's wonderful to fly. Draw pictures of people sailing out of cars and so forth, which is so ignorant, when the true soldier stays in the field working. And strengthen the hands of the wicked. It all works for Satan, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. In other words, by saying, the wicked that was taught the word of God in the book of Revelation concerning what's going to happen, when you'd say to them, you don't have to worry, friend, just be born again and believe and fly away. That's all you have to know. That's how simple it is to be a Christian. They're lying to you. That's how simple it is to be a Christian that follows the false Christ, which says false Christianity as well. To be a muffin in Satan's pan. Do you want to be a muffin in Satan's pan? You want to be served up? Stop. Just listen to man and his traditions rather than studying the Word of God. I would think that any child could understand these scriptures that pertain to the end time when they would cry, peace, peace, peace. I would think after having read these scriptures and you taking inventory of what is being taught by the so-called preachers, teachers today, that you could understand why when the peace, 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 which happened this past week concerning Jerusalem, Yahushalayim, was brought forth, that you could see we're at that time. Because to teach their souls to fly is about all that's taught. I mean, you can, they may talk about granny and they may talk about uncle and a lot about themselves, but they'll never teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Because they want you to fly like a butterfly. When it's so, God's against it. Which are you going to choose? It's up to you. Because there are a few teachers that are intelligent. Well, is that something to be proud of? No, it's a gift from God that if you study His words, that's the beginning of wisdom, is to absorb the knowledge of God. Nothing to be on an ego trip about, certainly to be able to understand and read the languages of the word. Nothing to be big about at all. It's love of wanting to know what your Father said, whereby you could please Him. Do you want to please your earthly father? How did it make you feel as a child to really have him proud of you and just really pulling for you? It made you feel real good. Well, do you realize how much prouder and full of love it is to serve the true Father, our Heavenly Father, and make Him proud of you? Sometimes it doesn't make you too popular with human beings, but that's all right. If you please your Father and it doesn't please certain people, they're not your friends anyway. They're followers of Satan in many cases. And I'm not judging or anybody. I'm just out winning a few friends and influencing people here in this little lecture concerning the end times. That's all. And it's good to have you aboard, all right, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And I know that may sound about like an old Marine Corps sergeant would say, hey, it's all right with me, friend. And maybe that's the way I do feel about it. But what I'm saying is, I'm going to teach God's word. I don't care who it offends. It doesn't bother me a flip whether you enjoy God's word or not, because there are many that do. And as a teacher responsible for the fact that souls don't fly into Satan's camp but stay working in the field and the armor of God is important, because I won't have to answer for being a false teacher, because they will never, I repeat, never be in the assembly again in the office of teacher. They're going to be pupils, and guess who their teacher will be in the millennium? It tells you in this great book of Ezekiel in chapter 44 who their teacher will be. Those that taught truth while others taught souls to fly. I qualify for that camp, and there's going to be a great deal of discipline going on there in the millennium, and many of God's elect will have a special camp for preachers that would teach falsely according to some denomination rather than the Word of God. I am not tearing down Christianity. I'm ripping out by the roots the teaching that would cause people to follow the false Christ and welding in those that are worthwhile, that are mature. And there are many brand new Christians, maybe just a baby 2 days old in Christianity, that are far more intelligent than some that have sat on a pew bench for 40 years listening to trot or to fly. Oh yes, it'll be wonderful. It's not biblical, honey, and God hates it. He's against it. And He's going to tear the walls down of those buildings. His words, not mine. We read them in this lecture. Verse 23. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity. That's emptiness. Nonsense. Nor divine divinations. These people that would dream things up on their own. Well, we have to fill the church some way. And if you make it, if you teach God's word truthfully that they have to stay at work, let's give them an easy way out, a security blanket, and then we can fill it up. You fill yours up, friend. I don't want lazy wimps in my church. That is to say, the church, God's church that I'm responsible for. You keep the wimps and give me the warriors. I cannot imagine why anybody would take a building that was filled with just whatever comes. What do you want them for if they're too lazy to study God's word? He can't use them. Why will you promise to fly with their security blanket, eternal life, when it's obvious they're lazy, biblically illiterate, and God can't use them because they don't know what tomorrow brings when God has foretold us all things in his word? Who would want a hodgepodge of mixed up, confused, stumbling people like that? I don't, quite frankly. Every chapel that I teach over a period of time has tables, like a university, for people to work, to take notes. And hey, friend, if you don't want to work, don't come to the church I'm responsible for. If you don't want to work, go somewhere else where you can just sit and be lazy. Don't come around me. I don't want you unless you're willing to work at studying the Word of God. This has nothing against evangelists. Evangelists are not teachers. It's all right if they don't want to have tables. But a teacher or a pastor is supposed to be a teacher, or he's not worth, I don't know what you're paying them. But they're not worth their hire if they're not teaching God's word. All right, I don't know how all that came in. Maybe somebody needed it. But I am a very straightforward, bold person in the word of God. I don't have to take a backseat to anybody. Are there better teachers than you? Probably so. Probably so, somewhere. But they certainly don't worry me. I don't intimidate easily. Our Father is very true. And when he gives you a gift, you don't have to take a back seat. And God's gifts are given without someone having to apologize for them. They will stand on their own, for they are documented, or it's not necessarily God's gift. Let's go to the last verse then. And it reads, therefore, ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's the whole thing. God will take them away from them and bring them into his camp, because on the first day of the millennium, every knee shall bow to Christ. Well, then what is the danger of teaching? It seems pretty innocent. What is the danger in teaching people to fly? Because they're not taught that there is a false Jesus, and he's coming to this earth first. It's written in Revelation chapter 6. Do you know what? He rides a white horse just like the true Jesus. Only that follows him is death, deception, war, disease, inflation, deception, many things. Of course, Daniel makes it clear that he comes in prosperously and peacefully. So in people's minds, they won't see the death. Well, how could if he comes in prosperously and peacefully, how could death be involved to it? Most people that would believe you fly to save your soul would never see the death. Do you know why? It's their soul that's dying because they're following Satan rather than Christ. Because they've been lied to. You see, the false Christ will no doubt, he would be stupid if he didn't capitalize on the saying, I've come to take you all home. We're going to convert a few of your good relatives that do not accept me. And then we're going to go home. We're going to fly away. All the newspapers, television, worldwide, Jesus has returned. They're just one big problem. To fly as the way. They're just one big problem, friend. He's not the Jesus. Let's take that word as a linguist would do it and understand it rather than just using it. The prime is Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior. It's not really him. It's a fake. It's instead of him. When you say Antichrist, you're saying instead of Christ. That's what it really means. Someone that is posing as Christ, but he's a liar. He's supernatural. He can snap his fingers and make lightning come down from heaven. Oh, did you see that? Miracles performed in the front of people that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived by him. That's why teaching God's people to fly to save their souls is extremely dangerous and a lie. It's up to you. If you want to follow one of those jokers, hey, have at it. Don't worry. It'll all be straightened out, and there'll be a lot of hurt feelings. Yeah, I hurt a few now. I don't really cut much slack. I never have won too many wars cutting slack. When I go out to win. And God's Word is a winner. Choose God's Word or listen to the false teachers. It's up to you, friend, and because you are the one that will answer for it. God says, don't teach my people to fly to save their souls. How intelligent are you? Is that complicated? I don't think so. But if you want to go ahead and do it, have at it. All right, bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets that has our Father has sent us. How blessed it is to know and understand the words that our Father sent us through this wonderful prophecy of Isaiah. Do you know that it covers both the first and the second advent in the prophecies? At what would happen to him at his first advent, that he would be crucified, that he would suffer for us, as well as the apocalypse of Isaiah in chapter 24. How fascinating to see the book of Revelations entailed even in this prophecy by Isaiah. Have you really studied it chapter by chapter, verse by verse? This gives you that opportunity with the advantage of knowing the language in which it was written. The book of Isaiah, one of the greatest of the prophets.
All right. Hey, bless your hearts. There we are back again. You know what? I'm going to show you an 800 number right now. 1-800-643-4645. And that number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. If you have a question... Now let me say something. It might surprise some of you after that lecture. Don't ask me to say something negative about a specific denomination or belief. I won't do it. I teach teaching God's Word and letting it set the pace. If a work needs to be pulled down, let God's Word do it. Man doesn't have to. So I won't say anything negative. I love very much every person that attempts to be a Christian. And I'm very lenient on the lay person that is even deceived. They can't help it. Or at least, you know, God doesn't bring us all to the full light at one time. Sometimes it would be very damaging to the eye. I remember when I used to hunt for the truth in various denominations. And I enjoyed something about every one of them because they taught Christ. But it just so happens we're coming to that time when the false Christ is going to appear and the people are not being warned. That's what we're about. So don't ask me to say something negative about anybody. I won't do it. I am a teacher of the Word of God. Now, if you have a question and you feel moved, well, dial that 800 number. Those of you that listen by shortwave around this world, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always wonderful to hear from you. Now, if you got a prayer request, He's our Father. just real special, real close. He hears us, and he hears you. And you know why? He loves you. He even loves sinners. That's why he sent Christ, was to help sinners, to give them a way. You want a security blanket? The true Christ that expects you to work gave his life on the cross. Are you willing to take interest enough in him, the best friend you'll ever have, to work in the field for him rather than listening to the lies of false teachers? That's up to you, friend. I hope so. He loves you. And he loves you enough that he died in your place, that on repentance your sins are forgiven. Talk to him. Father, we come to you. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, touch, heal. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, let's get in. Let's see what's on the minds of people around the country. Okay, Marilyn from Indiana. We are buying a house and borrowing money from our dad to do so. What if the Antichrist comes first before we can pay him back? Well, don't worry about it. You'll be all right. God's in control at that time, and it is his promise that he will take care of his chosen, all right, his elect, and he will. I have no doubt in my mind, not even a speck. I have all the faith in the world to know that he'll come through for us at that time. So use common sense. Do the best you can with it. Prepare for that time. Don't be lazy about it. God will protect us. Patrick from Nevada, what is your opinion of the new health plan? Well, you know, we had that man and his wife, the president, for 12 years here in Arkansas. And it's real strange that when it comes to health plans, the last year he was governor here in Arkansas, he was out riding buses most of the time rather than being a governor, which, I mean, that's understandable. He was campaigning. But because of his governing, every handicapped person that drew aid in the state of Arkansas, before the first of the year came around, would be tossed out into the street. I'm just saying, you know, I always look at a person's abilities, their past record. There was a group of buses of handicapped people, wheelchairs, the whole bit, drove from Fort Smith in the month of December 1992. To our capital in Little Rock to ask the lieutenant governor to do something that they wouldn't be throwing out in the streets. Why? Because the governor, Bill Clinton, had allowed, and his wife Hillary, had allowed the health system to go kaput. I mean, it couldn't have been in any worse shape. We had to call a special legislature to raise enough money, it's strange, on soft drinks and cigarettes and a few other places, corners, that we got enough money together that we kept the handicap from being thrown out in the street. But Bill Clinton would not resign until almost the first of the year, driving these people out into the street. It's his fault, friend. And he's talking help. And little Hillary designed the thing and left us in that kind of mess. What kind of people do that? Well, I shouldn't be too hard on Bill Clinton. As far as health is concerned, probably something that medical doctors have tried for years to find a cure for, is he just might have found a cure for the common cold. And that is to be able to dodge every draft that comes along. You know, it's always such a big help. And maybe we'll learn from that. That may not amuse you, but it amuses me a great deal. And my friends, it's very easy for the media to check out what I just stated, because it's very true, and we here in Arkansas know it's the truth. I would say one more thing. people today, if there's any one good side to this health thing, people today that won't work, and many of them don't have jobs, if they go to an emergency room, they just simply, the bill is not paid. But they're going to pay it in the future. And those that just simply say, I'll go down there and dump it on the taxpayer, well, they're going to pay it in the future, because Bill Clinton and is going to have big business paying 80% of the bill. And what does big business mean? Well, we've got a company that makes bologna. And that's what sometimes us poor folks eat. If it's good beef bologna, it's not too bad, you know. But round steak, some people call it. Anyway, this big company makes bologna. And they're going to have to pay 80% of all their employees part-time and everything. So that means bologna's going up, friend. Well, who buys bologna? The poor folks do. They're going to start paying for their doctor bills. I like it. You know, that's the only part I like about the thing is everybody, and I do mean everybody, because anytime you tag it on to business, a lot of people going to lose their jobs? You bet, because business is hurting now. Well, anyway, congratulations, everyone. I hope that they don't do you as bad as they did the state of Arkansas in the month of December 1992. That's all I got to say about it. Anybody else want to ask me about the health plan? I would advise you don't. All right? Little true reporting there. Okay, Margie, from Alabama. What does the Bible mean when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be given to you? It means exactly that. What is it? I wonder how many know what it is to seek the kingdom of God. Well, I don't know. But what does the word kingdom mean? It means a king and his dominion. And if you seek it, you naturally read the writings of the king, become knowledgeable in them. And God said, if you seek that to enter in, I'll do everything for you that is good for you. That's bad for you, I won't. All right? Meaning he will give you what you ask for that won't work against you. Lisa from California, Luke chapter 16. How can all people go to paradise when they die? I'm confused. Well, it doesn't say they're going to stay there. There's a great white throne judgment coming, and some of them are going to be burned up in the lake of fire. So they're not all going to stay there. They just go. You have to go to God. And where is God? In paradise. He's the one that does the judging, so they got to go there to be judged. But don't worry, everybody won't stay there forever. Carrie from Alaska. How important is it to go to church in regards to your salvation? Question. Boy, it's according to what's taught in the church you're going to. If they're teaching you to fly there, you may have a bit of a problem. God's against that. I have 6 children and am a single parent. I have not been to church for 2 years. Am I in big trouble? Well, you're a busy girl, I can say that much. If you're a single mother with 6 little ones up in Alaska, I'm real proud. My hat's off to you. This is a church, hon. All right? This is a church. And when you study with us, you are in church. So you don't have any problems. You just study God's word, and he'll love you and bless you. And congratulations, you got a big heart, taking care of 6 little ones all by yourself. God bless you. Jeannie from Arkansas. You mentioned in one of your cassette tapes that Satan knows our individual plans because he can hear us talking, but that he can't read our minds. My question is this. When he comes to the earth, will he still be able to hear what we are saying? Or since he is no longer in heaven, will it be that he can't hear us then? No, he can. He's supernatural, honey. He'll still be able to hear you, and if he so chooses, if it's spoken aloud. But that's what it's all about. Don't worry, your own kin folks at that time, when you say, that's not Jesus, are going to go to him and say, because they're going to think it is, and they're going to think it's the Jesus come to fly them away, and they're going to say, mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters are going to say, my son or my daughter, they're really good people. They even study the Word of God, but they think you're not Jesus. So have mercy on them. your own kin folks do that to you. That's written in Mark 13. Margie from Alabama, could Arafat be Antichrist? No, absolutely not. Satan is Antichrist, okay? If Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, how does Satan get any? Well, he's allowed. If, in other words, God uses him to correct his own children, all right? God wants his children to love him. And love, you can't force someone to love you. It would seem that many people love themselves or something or Satan, false teachings, more than they love our Father. What we want to do is to get rid of everybody like that, because we got an eternity just ahead of us. And somebody that's not true blue, we want to get rid of them. God wants to get rid of them. So he allows Satan to tempt them to see whether or not they'll read his word or listen to a bunch of funny bunnies, fly raptured daddies, all right? If they'll listen to a bunch of funny bunnies, hey, if they won't come out of that, God doesn't want them, all right? Now, I'm not slamming people, and I realize there will be many saved in the millennium that were deceived because they never had an opportunity to hear the truth. I don't care how often they went to the church. It's possible to go to a church and never hear the truth. That is to say, what our Father considers truth. Sylvia from California, how do dinosaurs fit into God's plan? Well, they're his babies. If it weren't for the dinosaurs, you couldn't drive your car today. That's how they fit into it. What do you mean? Well, you wouldn't have any gas. Gasoline comes from dinosaurs in part. All right, in part. They document, but other than that, that there was a first earth age before the one that is commonly taught now, which should reassure you that there's, if the Bible is correct about that, as Peter taught it in 2 Peter chapter 3, there's also going to be a third, and praise God for that. Jeff from Virginia, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, if it is not the rapture, what is it? It's where the dead are. You know, it takes a lot to wake some people up. It really does. Jeff, read it yourself. See what the 13th verse says. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. If you believe that Christ rose from the grave, surely you believe everybody that's in Christ and so forth rose from it also. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then it continues on to say at the seventh trump, we're all going to be turned into the word air now, is the breath of life body or the spiritual body. Paul taught the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15:52. Gloria from California, where does the Bible speak of 70 times 70? Well, that's where Christ was speaking of forgiving somebody, 7 times 70. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, all right? Matthew 18, 22. Ellen from New Jersey, should we celebrate Christmas? Well, it's the day of conception. December the 25th is the day Christ was conceived. John, who was 6 months in Elizabeth's womb at that time, Mary rushed from the conception to her cousin, and John leapt in the womb of his mother when she approached because the Holy Spirit was there. When did Christ begin dwelling with man? At conception. So, hey, if you want to celebrate conception day, it's all right with me. The main thing is to make sure that you make hay while the sun shines. Anytime somebody has Christ on the mind, teach Christ, but teach truthfully. Okay, Helen from North Carolina. How old do you think Cain and Abel were when they offered up the first offerings? Also, please explain John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. You know, that's one of the most asked questions I get. Explain John 5, 28 and 29. We'll do that in a moment then. But when they became of age, God expects when a person becomes of the age of understanding and of the age of producing fruit, he wants his part. It's that simple, all right? So they were young adults. John chapter 5, verse 28 was a one-time thing, such as the appearance of Christ and Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was a one-time thing to prove that Christ had defeated death. In other words, it was people that died in Jerusalem that everyone would know, come out of the grave to document that Christ was indeed the Messiah when he died on the cross. Okay, Barbara from Texas. I have some disturbing experiences in small churches. In some churches, rather, not small churches, in some churches. My question is, I consider my church experience in the traditional sense is studying God's Word with you. Is it okay to attend a traditional church? Is it okay not to attend a traditional church on Sunday? I want to please God. Well, it's according to what's being taught there, dear. If God's Word isn't being taught there, why would you want to go? It's really not a church if God's Word is not taught there. All right? It's something else. You call it whatever you want to. Peter from New York. We're going to have to save that one for tomorrow. I just realized we're out of time. Again, it seems like this hour goes by so fast. Hey, we're going to start a new book tomorrow, most likely, unless the Father leads and we have some other special between now and then. Who knows? But be ready for whatever. It's good to be back. I missed you all, and it's good to be back working again. And we got a fantastic documentary. You're going to really love it. We got two of them, as a matter of fact. And we're brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, it should change your life. And if it has, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God, and you know what? He'll always bless you. But most important is this. Stay in His Word. Every day in His Word's a good day. Do you know why? Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is the living Word.
Thank you for joining Shepherd's Chapel in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to further your studies with Pastor Murray, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. For a free introductory package, which includes Mark of the Beast audio tape, a monthly newsletter, a complete tape catalog, and a new student tape list, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Feel free to call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request the free introductory package or to leave questions for Pastor Murray to answer on the air. We at Shepherd's Chapel would like to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.
This has been a long time I've been promising a children's book. This is a book that will help a parent teach their child exactly what God's Word states. Now, this was done by a very good friend and student of this chapel. We have